Well, hey, folks at home, it's First Bite, the Pride of Detroit preview podcast brought to you by the Pride of Detroit POD cast. Why is it called the POD cast? Because Pride of Detroit spells out POD, but that's not the POD cast you listen to. You listen to First Bite. This gets even more complicated each time. What is First Bite? First Bite is a shorter version of our podcast and it's meant to preview because we usually don't like previewing things because previewing is not evergreen content. Most of the sports stuff isn't, but I'm getting technical now. Let's introduce the rest of the crew here. I'm going to introduce here from beautiful New York City, Ryan Matthews, the rock god.
Hello. Technically not New York, Hoboken, New Jersey, but thanks for the kind of grand entrance.
Same thing. It doesn't matter. Thing, right? Like Hoboken is like the only place that people in New York City actually recognize as a real place that exists.
Fair enough.
And joining us this time, well, surprise, surprise, it's Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader.
Hey.
Hey. So that means that there's no one here actually in Michigan.
Or we finally invited Jeremy back to his own podcast.
we had to kick him out for a while. It was becoming a problem with Jeremy, but you know what? He says he's going to be a good boy now, a very good boy.
I'm just coming on here to make sure you haven't been doing a wrestling podcast this entire time.
These go on iTunes. You can find them there.
I don't want to listen to. I'm not really a fan of the show, to be honest.
So let's wrap this up. We don't read the site, and you don't listen to the podcast.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair. All right, let's bring in our guest. So the Lions are playing the New England Patriots on Friday. Friday, for some reason. God, that's awful. They're the Patriots. What else can we say? They're the goddamn Patriots. We had to bring on someone who could talk about that, and that someone is the only guest on this podcast currently in the great state of Michigan, Brian Phillips from Pat's Pulpit. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm the only guy here in Michigan. I feel like I kind of showed up to the party that wasn't really there, and it's at like the cool kid's house or something.
Yeah, you'll get instructions. Like you'll send out the text asking where everyone is, and then like maybe like an hour and a half later, someone will be like, "Oh, hey, I finally saw your text. Don't worry, we're over here, but we're gonna go to this place."
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's like a blast from the past from my from high school. So cool. This is great.
We're hitting all the checkbox here on First Bite. It's what we do, including the ubiquitous Pats fan from Michigan.
Hey, by way of New Hampshire, I'll give you that.
Great
stereotype.
New Hampshire, where everyone's a psychopath, and it influences our elections.
We've got some bad apples, that's for sure.
That's one way to put it. That is one way to put it. I have a history with New England, but
thank
I will
you
leave
for handling. Here. Thank you for handling that so diplomatically, Brian. Let's move things along, Chris.
If you can't tell, I'm sick. I only have a little bit of Gatorade left, and I brought in Jeremy just so, like, if I start hacking my lungs out, he'll be able to take over. So, with that plate set, let's get into First Bite. Brian, thanks for joining us. The Patriots, what can you say? They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, things have been good. They won the Super Bowl and decided not to get complacent. Had a halfway decent offseason with the acquisition of Brandon Cooks, Dwayne Allen, and company. I'm sure I'm missing a few here and there, but it's been pretty good. The number one, the biggest favorite, preseason favorite to win the Super Bowl heading into a season. So we got Tom
Christ
for Madden. So things, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, and you're underselling it a little bit. I think a lot of people pointed to the Patriots offseason as one of the best in the league. Is that something you agree with, or do you think that's being a little overblown?
I am underselling it as much as I possibly can and trying to remain professional.
That's good. I will say you did take a massive blow. You lost Martellus Bennett.
Yeah. Hey, Marty was cool. You know, Marty did a great job last year, but gonna be a little more dynamic, let's say, this coming season. And then of course there's the addition of a healthy Rob Gronkowski to the offense again this year, to kind of out the speed of a Brandon Cooks and Mike Gillisley added to the backfield. Rex Burkhead Things are good, guys. Things are really good in New England. I'll be honest.
Let's pump the brakes on healthy Gronkowski. We haven't taken the bubble wrap off yet. Let's see what happens when he hits the first defender.
Hey, we might see him. We might see him on the field Friday. He played in his first preseason game since 2012 last week. No targets, but got some snaps in. You know, knocked some pads. So
had some shots.
We should see him this week. You'd think, but you know, with Bill, you never really know.
Well, I mean, I think with the thing with Gronk is that he stays hype, bro. But the other thing that was really interesting about the Patriots offseason, which kind of seemed uncharacteristic about it, was another huge acquisition of Stephon Gilmore. They shelled out a lot of coin to get him, and that's usually not their MO, especially when it comes to cornerbacks, because it seems like they just manufacture dudes at that position. So what is up with giving him 5 years, $65 million?
I think you just have to take one look at the schedule this year, and you see that it's clear they went out and they had to kind of spend that money. They have so much cap space. Obviously, having an undrafted guy like Malcolm Butler kind of going through the rigorous process of getting a contract as an undrafted free agent is pretty brutal. And the Patriots have made no bones about really maximizing that from a team standpoint and making him earn every dollar. So they went ahead and dumped a whole pile of cash on Stephon Gilmore's porch. Julio Jones to kind of start it off. Julio Jones, Mike Thomas. I mean, they've probably got 8 or 9 of the top 12 receivers this year schedule. So they need that big guy to kind of get his mitts on somebody at the line of scrimmage. And, of course, we've got McCourty over the top. But a nice 1-2 punch on the defense as well.
Now, I want to switch it back over to the offense for a second. So far, the Lions have played the Jets and an Andrew Luckless Colts. Do you think the Patriots offense is going to be better than both those challenges?
Scott Tolzien, baby.
Christian Hackenberg.
My God, I hope so. But, you know, it's going to be vanilla. You know how it is with the preseason, yeah. especially the dress rehearsal. I get a nice sizable chunk of Tom Brady, who looked good once he got things rolling this week. But, yeah, I certainly hope so. I hope they look a little better than the Jets. But, yeah, again, the play calling will be kind of dialed back. And I think it's really just going to be a timing thing. Brady working on some timing stuff with Brandon Cooks. And him and Jules obviously, you know, can walk out there without any reps and be on the same page. But hopefully we see a little Gronk, and then actually, to be honest, hopefully we don't. But hopefully for the fans there and, you know, everybody else, Gronk will get out there. But, yeah, I don't expect to see too many fireworks.
Do you have an idea based on, I guess, precedent, how long the starters are going to be out there for the Patriots? Are there certain guys like Gronk that are going to be, like, untouchable? They're not going to play at all, or they're only going to play a series or two?
Well, some guys that typically, like I said, last week was Gronk's first preseason action since 2012. But given his long layoff with the back surgery last year, I think Bill really thought, and he's been so, you know, he's been healthy and kind of chomping at the bit to get out there and get some action. So Bill kind of wants to let him get his feet wet a little bit. I do expect to see him again. Typically, Tom will get his – you should see him right around maybe an entire first half, and then have Jimmy and Jacoby take it over from there. It's typically how it goes. Last year, obviously, it was a little different with Tom and suspension. We saw him play an entire first half in week 4 in New York, which was nerve-wracking, to say the least. But it'll be interesting to see kind of how the running backs shake out, too, with Mike Gillisley seeing his first padded action in practice this week. Since the beginning of the month, the first padded practice of training camp, he's been nursing an injury. He was back at full strength this week. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets kind of his first game action. And then Rex Burkhead's missed the last 2 days as well to an injury after starting last week. So there's some question marks as to who we'll see there. But you should be pretty much at full strength just about everywhere else on the offense.
Is that Patriots backfield going to be more of a soup du jour again as it usually is? I mean, is it going to be a little bit of Deion Lewis, a little bit of Rex Burkhead? Whitehead, a little bit of Gillislee, like you mentioned. Or is there a guy that they're going to lean on, kind of like they did last season with LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, you know, I think it will be much more of a soup du jour type of it's funny how Bill does it. He kind of parts things out instead of, you know, he'll take a Le'Veon Bell and break him down into three different, you know, guys. Pretty much he wants to take a trait from each guy, find a guy for a specific trait. So you've got obviously James White being the primary third down back. Gillislee was brought in. He was so effective inside the 5 yard line last year, that one cut dynamic style goal line back. He was extremely efficient down there. He was in that first padded practice at the beginning of camp, was getting those initial first goal line reps. So that's what we kind of expect to see him in that role with Rex Burkhead, kind of doing a little bit of everything. In my opinion, that kind of squeezes out Brandon Bolden, because Burkhead is also a really nice special teams guy too. And then Deion Lewis, there's talks, and Deion has looked really good. There's talks that it looks like 2015 Deion before the ACL injury, and we won't really need him to be as dynamic as far as splitting out into the slot and doing all those types of things. But yeah, he's got that twitch back. So I think Bill's going to want to try to get the ball in a lot of people's hands as much as he can.
So the Patriots didn't have a ton of draft picks in the 2017 draft. One of the draft picks they did get is they moved up with the Lions, actually, to move up and select Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State. Now, he suffered an injury. Is he done for the season?
It's been kind of back and forth on the reports, which is a little weird. Initially, it was reported that it was going to be an ACL and a year-long thing. It's likely going to be that type of scenario, especially with how tight this roster is going to be cutting it down to 53. It is going to be a lengthy period of time for him. So I do expect to see him on IR. As far as him potentially being a guy down the line who could be that designation to return, that's up in the air. Again, we're still waiting on all the 100% confirmation from the team, but the expectation of most around New England is that he'll be out for the year, which really sucks, because he was he did look like he needed to put on a little weight, but from an athleticism standpoint and a work ethic and kind of he was an impressive kid, and putting in the work and everything, kind of, it really, really sucks to see a guy who's developing this early, have his time cut short this year. It's pretty unfortunate.
There were quite a few of us at Pride of Detroit that were really, really liking his game and were really intrigued where he would land. I know there were some mock drafts putting him as high as like late in the first round. But there was a lot of intrigue around him, especially at Pride of Detroit. But aside from Derek Rivers, is there anybody in that Patriots draft class that you figure to be a contributor? Is there anybody that maybe we should keep an eye on during Friday's preseason game?
Absolutely. As far as this Friday's game, Dietrich Wise, the defensive end from Arkansas that they took in the fourth round, this guy has got, his arms are like, they're like, it's like John Stockton arms, man. These things are long. He reminds me of kind of a slender Ty Warren type, like 3-4 DN, because once he puts on a little weight, he's going to be a force inside. But he's got a concussion. So with how thin the Patriots are on the edge, we won't see him this week. He hasn't been cleared yet, but he'll definitely be a factor, because without Rivers, obviously with the retirement of Rob Ninkovich, and behind Trey Flowers and Coney Ealy, who is a question mark as well as far as his standing with Bill Belichick and his production on the field so far as a Patriot, it's thin on the edge. So he'll definitely be looked at to be a factor this year. And he's been really impressive. Him and Derek Rivers were impressive, but Wise really stuck out to everybody pre-concussions. So he'll be a guy to keep an eye on in the future.
All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to try to hone in more on this game, whatever there is, talk some more on the Lions and the Patriots. Just keep doing what we're doing here on First Bite Preseason Edition, where all of our stuff is kind of strewn across the floor and we're just getting ready for the regular season. This is a dress rehearsal game for us, too. Stick around. All right, First Bite back here again, Pride of Detroit podcast, First Bite, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. You already know who it is, as we would say if we were on SoundCloud, which we're not. Someone asked me, someone asked POD the other day if we'd be on Spotify. Unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for that, but we are here with Brian Phillips from Pat's Pulpit, and I am a little sick, so I'm going to turn this over to Jeremy right now while I go cough off microphone.
Now, before we get into like the dirty details of the game and who we're looking to watch, that sort of stuff, I haven't spoken at length with a Pats fan in a really long time, and I just kind of want to get an idea of what it's like. What it's like to enter the regular season already knowing that you're basically a division winner, you're already into the playoffs, probably already have a first round bye. What is that like? And what is it like? Are you one of those fans that panics for whatever reason at the first sight of failure? Because I've seen fans in Boston go nuts early in the season after, you know, a 2-1 start, and they think the sky is falling. Is that you? Is that something that's common, or is that just an outsider perspective?
It's absolutely an outsider's perspective. I'm kind of lucky. I get kind of to look at it through both lenses growing up, mm-hmm. up in Hampshire and then also here in Michigan. I've gotten to experience Lions fans and what you guys have to go through too. And I know, you know, you probably don't want to hear it from me, but I feel for you sometimes.
We don't need your sympathy, Brian.
don't need your shit at all.
Oh, I'm sure. No, but like I'm kind of like the anti, like I'm always the voice of reason that nobody wants to hear in New England, because in New England, if you're not with the message out there with Patriots Twitter and Patriots Nation, you know, we've got a lot of strongly voiced opinions. And when the sky is falling for me, it's, you know, when we've got major injuries. But if we start 2-2. I'm always kind of the ilk that it's, you know, it's September football. Bill always treats it kind of like the you know, like a second preseason. But if I start, you know, start seeing things, a bad football in the middle of October and November, you know, that's when my kind of question, you know, flags are raised for me. But I kind of just go with the flow, man. It's been good. You know, we don't have a whole lot to complain about, even though Patriots fans will complain about literally anything they can get their hands on.
Literally everything. You poor souls. Oh no, we might not have an edge rush. Oh no, whatever will we do? Oh no.
Right. Well, see, like last week, I got, I've been getting roasted the last 10 days for, you know, pinning a tweet on my account that says, you know, seriously, how long are we going to complain about Deflategate, guys? We have 5 rings. Can't we just move on? People want to call us cheaters. That's fine. Like, go ahead, but just take the moral high road. And you would have thought I said that Tom Brady is the 20th greatest quarterback of all time. I got
like, seriously, how
the worst, some of the worst takes you've ever heard hit my timeline the last week. It was brutal.
I'm surprised.
Whoa. You want to hear the worst takes in the world. I think Chris Lemieux should turn it over to his article that went up on Wednesday about Matthew Stafford's contract.
Oh, come on. We're really going to do that to me?
No, no. I feel like this was a good segue into Jimmy Garoppolo.
but I wanted to say, like, Brian, like, I'm surprised Bill Simmons didn't show up at your house and was like, dude, man, stop messing with my paycheck.
He does not. Right. Bill is totally unaffected by anything Patriots right now. He's in a Kyrie Irving coma.
Right, yeah. Like a God forbid any other team gets to make a trade in the NBA and he's like, I'll handle it tomorrow. But God forbid someone gets traded to or from the Celtics and all of a sudden he's gotta like shine the bat signal, call in 8 people and record a 4-hour fucking podcast.
Right.
Like
meanwhile the people of his city are burning Isaiah Thomas's jersey like some
no goddamn reason.
Oh my God.
Ah man, Boston's wild. But no, I did want to, before we got off track there, I did want to ask you about Jimmy G's Jimmy Garoppolo, as Ryan was alluding to, someone was in the mentions earlier about saying that it's no big deal if Stafford walks. Jimmy Garoppolo is an adequate NFL quarterback, which, I mean, sets off a pleasure zone right there, saying adequate. So I mean, how has Jimmy G been, and how has Jacoby Brissett been too? Because we got to see both of them last year. It was kind of fascinating, but like Jimmy Garoppolo's kind of been that guy, kind of like I mean, like every Patriots quarterback for the last 10 years, or Scott Tolzien, or name whoever you want, the backup behind the superb grade A number one elite quarterback in this league that everyone thinks is just waiting to shine, waiting to come out from beneath the shadow and show us how great he is. So how are Jimmy Graps and Jacoby Brissett doing?
Well, letting Matt Stafford walk is, I've heard it in my brief week being back here in Clarkson, listening to the radio and hearing the people call in, like, you know, well, Matt's not, he's not worth $30 million. I mean, that's such a horrendous take. It's hard to even vocalize my feelings about it to let him walk over some money. But if that were to happen, and you brought in Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to see quite the decline in production from a Matt Stafford. I'm one of the biggest Jimmy Garoppolo slappies out there. Like, I love me some Jimmy G. He's arguably the most attractive man in all of sports. Let's just check that, right? I mean, and even over Tom Brady, it's tough to say it out loud, but I mean, come on, guys. He looks like Aladdin. But yeah, he's got some game experience. He always struggles a little bit in training camp and in the preseason. He's playing with a lot of UDFAs and second stringers, but the guy's got game. He's got a cannon. He's really taken to the system. There's not enough sample size to really say that he's going to definitively be a top 10 quarterback once he gets the chance. He's definitely got the potential to be, but yeah, I mean, to let Matthew Stafford walk out the door because over a few million dollars would be just such a hilariously bad decision. Is that real? I mean, what is the percentage of Lions fans on this? How many rash are saying they should do?
Well, that? I mean, there's different layers to the Lions fan base hell. So I think POD is on like the third layer, and then like 97.1, the ticket callers are in the eighth ring. They've been banished there because of like extreme blasphemy and personal betrayal of someone loved.
Yeah, you're doing yourself a huge disservice by listening to 97.1, Brian. If you want to learn anything about the Lions, just subscribe to our podcast. You're much better off.
Hey. Plug that in there on iTunes and Stitcher.
Beat me to it.
Hey, I wanted a little nostalgia. You know, I wanted to, you know, I wanted a little bit of, you know, I wanted to feel like I'm part of something here. When I'm back in Michigan and I'm cruising, cruising down Telegraph on a Saturday morning, got Pat Caputo going.
Oh boy.
Oh God.
Yeah, I know it's bad. I know.
Gonna tuck that one away.
Well, okay, so we've gotten to Garoppolo. So like you're not worried if, like, I mean, obviously the Patriots would go have a pretty harsh hill to climb without Tom Brady, but like if Garoppolo came in midseason to replace him, how are you feeling on that?
I think we go from I think we go from a 14 or 15 win team to a, you know, like a 12 win team or an 11 win team, somewhere around there.
The luxuries of being the Patriots.
And what happens? And what happens then if we go third string? What happens if we put in Jacoby Brissett?
We have problems. Jacoby Brissett has clear issues diagnosing coverages. He takes chances that he shouldn't. He's still not as confident in the pocket, and he stares down receivers. He's a third string quarterback, you know, and he was drafted in the third round because that's what the Patriots do, constantly restocking the cabinet. But I mean, there's a contingent behind the why does he have to make the 53 man roster this year out there in Patriots land. I don't see it. When you have a 40-year-old starting quarterback, you have to carry three quarterbacks, in my opinion. But there are some saying, hey, we don't need Jacoby around anymore. You know, we got to open up a roster spot. So, you know, maybe in the slight chance that could happen, maybe somebody could scoop him up because there's no way he clears waivers. But
it was weird. When you described Jacoby Brissett, it sounded like you were talking about Jake Rudock.
I think you mean Brad Kaya.
I think that if I were a Patriots fan, I would feel more comfortable with Brad Kaya under center than Jacoby Brissett. But that's just me talking.
Is he look good, or what's the
deal? He hasn't done anything, essentially. He barely played in the last preseason game.
Which means he's been excellent. Like, he's what everybody wants now, right? I mean, that he's like the most popular guy in town.
You've absolutely been listening to too much 97.1. We've got to cut you off.
He's been most
one week of it, and I'm already tainted. I'm done.
The thing with the Lions quarterback situation is that if Matthew Stafford is no longer their quarterback, they might win three games.
Maybe. Right. Like, just burn it down. You know, I mean, if you don't have Matt Stafford, I don't know, you know, what is Martha Ford going to do if she doesn't have Matthew Stafford in the building?
Sell more tires.
Yeah, her main name's Firestone. That's not a joke. It's a Firestone and Ford family. So, yeah. All right.
I got some questions to throw Brian's way. Let me try to segue it this way. Brian, you're returning to the Detroit area. There's also someone on the Patriots that is currently returning to the Detroit area named Kyle Van Noy, who has drawn much ire after winning a Super Bowl after being traded midseason last year and kind of rubbing it in the Lions' face just a little bit. Where does he stand on the roster right now? Is he firmly like backup, or is he on the bubble? Is he even fighting for some starting jobs at this point?
So he is a really polarizing guy.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, let's hear some more about how Kyle Van Noy is polarizing.
Right. Let me tell you guys some more things you should know about Kyle Van Noy. You know, they brought him in to be more of the athletic off the ball type of guy. And I've got this recurring gif that's rolling through my head of him getting burned on wheel routes by Damian Williams of Miami. I'm not the biggest fan of his. There is a contingent of Patriots Nation that feels that, man, we can just make Dante Hightower a full-time edge and go with Van Noy and David Harris. I think Van Noy, he's the last linebacker making the roster, just because I don't like his skill set in space and coverage. And when it comes to run thumpers, we've got that kind of handled with Hightower, Harris, and Landon Roberts. But I also want Shea McClellan out of town too with his cap hit. But he's going to make the roster, in my opinion. If not just for the fact that he's somebody with NFL experience actually rushing the quarterback off the edge, for the love of God, we just need bodies.
That all sounds very familiar. Every single bit of that.
Guys, why aren't we a 12-win team?
Huh? It's a shame too, because I mean, if you guys did have a real need at edge, Kyle Van Noy like just doesn't have long enough arms to play edge. Which is like, I don't know. I think that kind of like doomed his career in the NFL almost, because sure, he can play off the ball, you know, will linebacker, just let him try to run at the quarterback as fast as he can. But I mean, he can't line up as an edge. So like Jeremy said, all of the things you had to say about Kyle Van Noy just kind of sound all too familiar. But then again, hashtag linebacker wins. I don't know. Is that a stat? I think he probably wins.
It was honestly a little therapeutic to hear you say that you have all the same issues with Kyle Van Noy, because from an outsider's perspective, a lot of people saw him come in with the Patriots. He, you know, I think he got an interception in like his second game. He got a sack in the Super Bowl, I think, maybe, or he had a couple of plays in the Super Bowl, and everyone's just like, we let this go. But
right,
that was annoying. That was so annoying. That was more annoying to deal with than the Falcons collapsing.
Yeah, I mean, there, like I said, there are some in Patriots Nation who absolutely love him, and they, it's almost just because of the fact that he was a crafty Bill Belichick acquisition, and he was going to be a guy on the team when they won the Super Bowl. So, like, there's always these guys, and some people feel the same way about Shane McClellan, but I feel like these guys who were brought in as kind of hybrid linebacker edge guys, the transition from the from college to the NFL when you're talking about the linebacker position is so crazy. As far as needing to develop those instincts quickly, that to be asked to just, you know, switch positions and get thrown into the fire and kind of play that hybrid role, it's, you don't see a lot of guys succeed at it. And Kyle Van Noy certainly doesn't have, in my opinion, to deserve to start for the Patriots.
Okay, guys, we got to get out of here. One sentence each. One thing you're looking for in Friday's game. Let's start with Ryan.
The one thing I'm looking for in Friday's game are for the rookie slash undrafted edge rushers to make another appearance. They didn't show up in the game in week two against the Jets quite the way that they did in week one against the Colts. So I'm definitely looking for them to show up in this week's game.
That is one sentence.
Shut up.
That's a run-on sentence. You are an English teacher. You should know this.
We can edit it later, but that's the power of the podcast.
It's staying in. Jeremy, let's go to Brian. Jeremy can wait till last. I don't know. I'm mad at him about something. I don't know. Brian, go ahead. One sentence.
I'm looking for Dante Hightower to actually get onto the field, and I need to see if he's wearing the green dot. If he's not, I need to see if he is rushing off the edge and at what percentage of his snaps he is doing so.
All right, Jeremy, you're last.
I'm looking for any sign that this Detroit Lions defense that we've seen against two really bad offenses is for real, or if Tom Brady is going to make us all cry.
Yeah, that'll do it. All right, we are done here with First Bite. Again, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Chris Perfett. I think I said Lemieux earlier. It's Perfett now.
You changed names within a half an hour.
Shut up. I'll edit it.
Everybody plug your shiz.
Yeah, all right, let's plug our shiz here. Let's get Brian. Brian, where can people find you?
@bphillips_pp on Twitter. That's for Pat's pulpit.com.
That's Phillips with two L's.
Also, I got a piece that I dropped today. Interviewed Asante Samuel last week and kind of about his 2007 contract holdout situation. It was really, really forthcoming with the details, which is pretty cool. So check it out.
Sounds great. Yeah, gets that. Patspulpit.com. Ryan, the rock god, you can find at Ryan_POG. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, at Detroit on Lion. And myself, for now, at Adequate Host. And, of course, at Pride of Detroit, with for everything else. We'll see you star side. Enjoy the game.